Well, this year marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Walt Whitman. The famous American poet has deep roots in New York and New Jersey, where he cut his teeth as a novelist and a journalist, then turned to poetry. WAMU's Michaela LaFrac tells us about a particularly formative decade of his life, one that he spent in the nation's capital.
Here's a familiar story. A man moves to D.C. at a time when the country is deeply divided. He comes to volunteer for a cause and ends up falling in love. He gets low-level government jobs to pay the bills and pursues creative projects on the side.
The first job he got was as an assistant with the Army Paymaster's office, and then he worked as a clerk with the Department of Interior.
This is the story of Walt Whitman. You might know his most famous book of poetry, Leaves of Grass. I'm at the Library of Congress with Whitman historian Barbara Baer.
There's so much that in Whitman's writings from the period when he lived in Washington that are very pertinent to political discussions we're having now and social issues.
She picks up a photograph of the poet with his big white beard. Whitman arrived in D.C. in 1862 during the Civil War. He'd come to find his younger brother, who'd been wounded at the Battle of Fredericksburg. Seeing his brother in an army hospital really affected him.
He goes on and basically says, I have this affinity for comforting and being with wounded and sick people, and it's sort of the beginning of his life here.
He starts making regular visits to a hospital in downtown D.C. in the building that's now the National Portrait Gallery. Today, it's full of beautiful artwork, including a portrait of Whitman. But back then, its halls were lined with boy soldiers with gory wounds. Whitman historian Martin Murray says Whitman made hundreds of visits to the hospital.
Great skylights you have here. A much, much brighter, lighter room here. And so that when Whitman would visit the wounded soldiers, they would be up here. He'd just go from cot to cot, bringing them pencils and papers. He'd bring them some candy, licorice.
He'd also write letters home to the soldiers' parents when they died. Whitman described the scene in a vivid 1865 journal entry.
Then the amputation, the blue face, the groan, the glassy eye of the dying, the clotted rag.
Amidst all this, Whitman gets fired from his clerk job because his boss took issue with the themes of male love in Leaves of Grass. He's also writing a lot of poems about the war, democracy, immigration, love, and grief. He also falls for someone, a young Irish streetcar driver named Peter Doyle. Baer, at the Library of Congress, shows me an 1865 photo of the two of them.
And they're sitting in chairs facing each other.
I love that pose.
They're making eye contact. Peter nearly has his hand on Whitman's knee.
Doyle was at Ford's Theater in April 1865 when President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Whitman heard his account and went on to write beautiful odes to the president, including one called When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed. Baer says that one holds special significance for her as a Washingtonian.
So every April we see the lilacs and we think of Whitman. And it's a metaphor of spring and hope and renewal.
For the bicentennial, she's helped curate a Library of Congress exhibition on the poet. But over at D.C.'s DuPont Circle Metro Station, Whitman's words are displayed every day of the year. At the metro station's entrance, a line from his Civil War poem, The Wound Dresser, is carved into the stone. I read it as I head up the long escalator.
Thus in silence, in dreams projections, returning, resuming, I thread my way through the hospitals. The hurt and wounded I pacify with soothing hand. I sit by the restless all the dark night. Some are so young. Some suffer so much. I recall the experience, sweet and sad.
The D.C. Council had it inscribed there to honor Whitman and remember the AIDS crisis, which hit the DuPont neighborhood particularly hard. But like so many of Whitman's poems from Washington, it contains multitudes of interpretations. For Here and Now, I'm Michaela LaFrac.